sometimes, which has come.
Yes, sir, sometimes it happens.
This is very interesting.
Yeah, I think I can kind of remember part of how we started on this. When you began playing, at what age, and your very early experiences.
I started playing when I was about 15, you know, with various little local, you know, guys get together, you know how they do. And then Robert Head had a little group, and Harry Scott, we were sort of just, you know, nobody was a leader or anything.
Co-op.
And I didn't get into, I guess the first time when I got into serious playing was with Don Wood, you know, very organized and long term. But before that, we just, you know, messing around, playing
neighborhood
amateur hour thing, you know, like I told you about the Regent. What was that? There was a theater, I think it was called Triangle. It was right below.
In East Liberty?
Yeah.
This was
below, below Craig Street on the hill.
Oh.
Right there, Craig and Center. Used to be a theater. And I think it was called the Triangle, if I'm making a mistake. But it's been so long ago.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a theater there.
Yeah, it was once a theater there. And we played there one...
Amateur.
A case of Pepsi Cola or something like that.
For teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. So,
and, our guys just pick up and we'd play just for maybe play the recreation center and places like that.
Who did you study off of, you know, your first bass teachers?
So my first bass teacher was in high school. In junior high. That was, it was Mr. Kelly, who was the, he was a music teacher for the band and the orchestra. Then I studied under him. I didn't really ever have any private lessons. I took a few, Mr. Walls, he was a piano teacher up on Center Avenue right there near Ewart Drive. And I took a couple harmony courses, but I ran out of money.
Yeah.
So I didn't really
Can you play a little bit of piano now? I mean,
I was messing around with it, but then I could never fit it in, because it's always, just like, you know, yesterday, I had a full day from morning to night. That's why I wasn't here when you called, because we had gone to Bible study, and then come back with the chiropractor. Then my cousin's wife was doing her trial sermon last night at Macedonia. So that's where we
were pretty well tied up.
I gotten so I don't plan days anymore. I have intentions.
Right.
Because every time I plan something, it never works.
Something comes up.
So, I was kind of messing around, I was doing pretty good, you know, just teaching myself. And then I just found I couldn't fit it in anywhere. Because when I work on my shoulder, that's like almost 2 hours. So I got to do my aerobics the opposite day. And then there's, you know, the other things. I got to go to chiropractor 3 times a week. So the next thing you know, the day is gone.
Time's gone.
So music is something that you have to set a definite time frame, and you have to practice X amount. If you say you're going to practice 2 hours a day, that's what you have to do, you know. But since I'm not able to do that, I just sort of, my wife plays, you know. And she plays, she was church or working mm-hmm. for our church for many years. Not my daughter's church organist. So it doesn't go to waste, but I don't get a chance
to do it yourself.
I have some books and everything she had. And learn a little wee bit, getting the notes back in my head. Mm-hmm. I used to know the keyboard pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then it's the time.
Yeah. Did you do any writing when you were in your earlier days?
No. I was beginning to learn from Mr. Wall, but then, like I said, I think it cost $2 a lesson. I couldn't get the $2
in that period of time.
Yeah.
Well, when you come out of high school, what year did you graduate from high school?
I graduated in 1944.
44. Mm-hmm. And you went on the road then?
I went on the road for a short period with Fred Staten and Clarence Edwards,
King Edwards,
And we went up to Newark. We had a job up there because Fred was a waiter, and he had connections from the Atlantic City every year, So we stayed there, I think it was about 3 months, I guess, at this club.
Was it through the summertime?
It was fall. Because I remember it was in chilly days. I was wearing a coat.
Right. Okay.
But it wasn't in the dead of winter, like February, It was somewhere around like September, October, November.
Okay.
But that's the first time I went on the road per se, and then I came back home. And the next time I went out was with Gerald Wilson, and when I stayed out there that time, we went to played the Apollo Theater for a week, and then we played. The El Grotto in Chicago for 3 months. And then I came back home, and I think I went to Dayton, Ohio with a drummer who I had worked with. I'm trying to get my facts straight here, the chronology, because I think that was, I'm trying to think where I had been before that, because I guess then I went back out with Snookum Russell, because Turrentine was with the band, Snaky Davis, and Shank,
Alan Saunders,
Parker,
and Hop,
and so the nucleus of the band was
Pittsburgh.
So, and I know I had played with this drummer before, as he's from Dayton, Ohio. So I must have gone, it must have been after I returned from that gig. And meanwhile, the army was chasing me around. So, in fact, I think when I was in Dayton, let's see, Jimmy Swan, Chuck Reeves, and who was the singer, Whitmore. I'm trying to think what her first name was. Tommy Whitmore's sister. She used to sing.
Okay.
And then it was, the drummer.
Was it at Johnny Wilson? Wasn't that the drummer?
No, this was in Dayton, Ohio.
So the guy
came here to get a guy from Pittsburgh gigs,
And he took them with him.
He took them, and in fact, that was where the draft board caught up with me. And because I had been moving around so much, when I'd be in one place, you know, they say, well, the agent, the office we work at, booking agency's office, they say, well, he's on the road, you know.
He just left.
The next time I'd be with some other agency, you know. And, but anyhow, I got this letter that said, you will report to Cincinnati Draft Board at number whatever, at 0800 hours. And it looked pretty legal, and also it sounded rather ominous.
Did you go?
So I said, well, I guess I better go.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went and got examined and then passed. Because I thought I was home free after I didn't go to World War II because I was 18. I was supposed to go then. In fact, I had my picture in the courier and everything. You know, I had, they gave me a party. And I went and they told me they didn't need me because I think Japan had surrendered at that time.
Yeah, 45 was,
So then I had to spend 6 or 7 months explaining to people why I wasn't in the Army. So I thought I was home free, you know, and here come the Korean. And that time they did get me. And so I think they gave me 90 days to get myself straightened out, to take care of my business and everything. So I came back home, and then I went into the Army, and Fort Knox is where I did my basic training. And then they sent me to, it was Camp Gordon, and then I was Fort Gordon in South Carolina. It's right outside of Aiken. So I, you know, they put me in the Signal Corps, and I made me a teletype operator, which I never did, you know, at the Army. I don't know much about the military, but they make you, if you're a mechanic, they make you a cook. They make you a mechanic. But anyway, I never did see a teletype after I got out of school. They sent me to, I thought I was home free then because I only had 6 months to go, and they sent me to Alaska. And that was in Fairbanks. That was right outside of Fairbanks. And so we were attached to the Air Force, and we were called Special Category Army with Air Force. So we made, we built airfields for them. We had, it was the
engineering division.
So they had a 500-man barrack there for the, that's how the Air Force, they live real good.
Squadrons, yeah.
And we lived in these Quonset huts, you know. But I was fortunate. I met a few musicians from Seattle, and I met a lot of the band members of the Air Force band. And then I got to play, you know, the NCO clubs and the officers clubs and nightclubs that were in town. And so, you know, I never was without, even when I was in Camp Gordon, I had my own group, you know. And so I played the service clubs there. And so, and, you know, I'd play in town sometimes.
But you didn't go through the Army band music program, huh?
No.
Yeah.
And which I was glad I didn't, because I made more money. If you, if you're in the band, you got, like, if you play for an NCO club or an officer's club, then it's your, it's part of your duty, so you only get $3. And I got $8.
Because
it wasn't my duty. So I did pretty good.
And then $8 a night wasn't that bad, because that's almost like the scale around here.
Right.
Back in the days.
Right, it was.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, I didn't have to, that was money on top of.
That's gravy.
Well, yeah, because all my expenses were taken care of, you know. And I even borrowed the bass from the service club. And that was, so I've been very fortunate. You know, I've never had to really ever interrupt my career. Mm-hmm. You know, that's from the time I started at 15 years old.
Right, right.
And when I was with Don Woods, we had the option of the good fortune to get Gus Greenlee's bus during the off-season.
From the baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just put a banner on Don Woods, Cavaliers Rhythm.
Right.
And Boots, we paid Boots the, he was the catcher for the team.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Crawford.
Crawford.
And so,
is that Boots Parker?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because he used to work for Thrift, used to drive for Thrift Drug, I think. Light skinned guy, big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I know, yeah, all right. Did you, who I was in, I mean, do you remember some of the guys that was in Donald's, in that van with you?
Yeah, I remember there was, it was Jimmy Rogers, Jimmy Pickett, Herschel, I think his name was Herschel Evans, and I'm trying to think, we had one more trumpet player. I can't remember his name, but I saw him not too long ago.
Yeah.
I didn't remember my name, but I didn't.
Is that the little guy that was a barber?
Oh, no, he's talking about Erskine.
Erskine.
No, no, he was, I forgot, I just can't remember the name, the little thin fellow.
Yeah.
And then we had Johnny Foster.
Yeah.
Luther Chambers. Al Cooper. Howard Kimball.
Yeah.
So where were we?
You were saying
the band.
Yeah, and then you were saying that
you remember Howard Kimball, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a good player, and Johnny Foster was a good player.
That's when you joined the union too, wasn't it?
Yeah,
during that time as a teenager.
We were making too much money.
Okay.
Because it was, you know, during the war.
Yeah.
And people had a lot of money, so, you know,
And you were working all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
And they said, man, we got to get some of this money. So they made us all tour the union.
Right.
And so that's how I happened to join. It wasn't, I was coerced into it.
Yeah, okay.
But after I got in it you know, it was kind of opened up a few horizons.
You met other guys. And did you, through that, did you begin to get more work with the union musicians? I mean, with the older guys, or did you soon go on the road?
I worked with, Stoney Gloucester.
Stoney, yeah.
I think he was president.
Yeah, for a while, yeah. Yeah.
And Leroy Brown and Henry Foster and the Crazy Cats.
Yeah, yeah. And did you ever do anything with was it Nene Waters and you know, with the piano, like as a duo, piano and bass player? Did you do many?
Nene Waters, I think it was a little bit before.
Before,
my time.
Okay.
I heard of him,
yeah. And Teeny Trent, I just heard of him.
Yeah, they were just a little bit before me.
Okay.
I would guess they might have been, when I was 15, they were probably in their
20s. Yeah, okay. And Earl Garner, because they were all in that piano, working downtown, you know, in his piano.
Well, Earl Garner, for the most part, did work single when he was here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But I got to hear him again. Because he played that, you know, they used to have two cover groups. And I saw him at the other one.
Yeah, the number one.
Yeah, that was the first one.
Because that's right up from the right up the street from the, where the club was.
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah. And so it, you know, I met a lot of musicians that you know, I wouldn't have met otherwise. And so, to that extent, it was broadening to me, and you know, I got to hear and learn. And
were there very many bands around during that time? You know, like.
Let's see, there was Faye Whiteley had a band, Fred Averett.
Hitchcock?
Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was quite a few big bands.
Big bands,
that was
a
big band here.
Right. Because I remember when, because my mother was a waitress in the Musicians Club, and this was in 44, because I was a junior in high school. And I went in, she had talked, you know, talked me up about, I mean, talked to them about my plan and so forth. And I went to a couple of Hitchcock's rehearsals, you know, just played with them that way. I mean, that was a big thing for me, you know.
Yeah.
Because John Anderson, remember him, a trumpet player, a brown skin, tall, brown skin guy.
Okay.
Okay, well, anyway, because these are some of the names that I remember.
Lord John Jackson.
These were some of the guys I remembered.
He played tenor. But he lived right down. He lived on Bedford Avenue.
Yeah.
That was one of the bands I, one of the
early bands
I played
yeah.
with. King Edward was in that band. I can't remember all of them. Cook. Man, his name was Cook. He was a tenor player. But these were all, you know, older guys.
Older guys. Did you know Henpie?
Yeah.
Remember him? Yeah, Henpie. And was Orlando around here? Do you remember Orlando Wright?
No, he wasn't around here then.
Okay.
But what's this other, they call
it? Pruitt.
Carl Pruitt was around. And I'm trying to think of this alto player, his nickname, Gooseneck or something.
Horse collar.
Yeah, he was around. I played some games with him.
Yeah, because I didn't know, I've heard, you know, I've heard these names, but I didn't know him. Yeah.
what about
Rico? Do you remember Rico, a little alto player?
Yeah, I remember Rico. He used to open the windows up at the YMCA
and play. Because I never heard. Because I was talking to Carl Arter a while back, and Carl said, you know, about that he was a good player, and you know, and and so forth, and participated. But I only knew him to play on the streets, like you're saying, and out windows and things like that, and stand around on the corners. But I never knew.
That's right. I never knew how good he was, because he was always talking about Charlie Parker.
Yeah,
I played like Charlie Parker.
Yeah.
But I never actually heard him perform.
Yeah.
Except through out the window of the wire or something. So I didn't know, you know, his capabilities. But yeah, I remember Rico.
He
acted like he was a little bit emotionally disturbed.
Well, like Cy Morocco was the same way. You know.
Yeah, he ran up to. I played several gigs with him. You know, he had some pretty good connections. Mm-hmm. He was, I don't know how he got him, but he was pretty in with Harley, George Harley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think he was going with his daughter.
Mm.
And but then the next thing I know, I'm on the bus, and he runs up, he runs, you know, the bus down, not going too fast, and asked me for a quarter. And I'm, you know, he looked, he just didn't look like himself.
Yeah. And he had a brother that played piano, didn't he, Andy?
Was that his brother?
I think so. Kasai was Jones was his last name.
Yeah, I can't remember his brother.
There was an because I might be wrong, but I thought there was an Andy Jones that played piano that was supposed to be Cy Morocco's brother. Because I never worked with Cy, but I remember him. You know, I'd see him and all that.
Oh, I've worked with Cy.
Yeah,
I worked with Andy Woods. Just about any old timer you could mention.
Right. Were you ever connected with the what's that? what's the lodge on Duff Street? You know the.
Oh yeah, I played Carney Post.
Carney Post.
Oh yeah, I played the Carney Post, Pythian Temple. On
Center
Avenue.
Yeah.
The
North Side.
Mason's right. The Mason was right across from the Pythian Temple. You know, right. Like.
Oh yeah.
Back, I played there for Billy. He was a pimp. Remember Billy?
Billy Davis. Nice,
He had a club there. Played there. And then he got where he started having jam sessions. He wanted to come and play.
I know.
For Drake. Can't do that. He had one. Didn't I think he had one either before or after that? Right down on Center Avenue.
Vera's.
There for him.
Yeah, because I think at the time when he had that thing down there, they had some kind of a round. It was a Monday night thing because I remember Jim Hunter and him out at Eileen's. Mm-hmm. They started on one of the Monday night football games. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, at the time of the game. But it was Jim Hunter and. Who's the cat? We just talked about it. Billy Davis, and there was somebody else. There was another club that was involved, but, you know, each Monday night it would swing around. They would be the featured thing.
The football player had, what was that?
McGee and Hinton.
Yeah.
Hinton. Yeah.
Yeah, I played that
club. Did you play
club.
There? Yeah.
That was with, must have been Johnny Wilson. Yeah, because I remember Scipio was playing.
Okay, playing piano. And the singer was Curtis Young?
Curtis Price.
I mean, Price.
Yeah,
Curtis
he was
Price.
Singing.
Yeah, okay.
And then went right up the alley from that, Gary Vedder's had it.
So. Because, years ago, there was a lot of things going on around here.
I would say, you know, from my perspective in traveling around, as far as, you know, indigenous mm-hmm. musicians, I've seen more indigenous musicians here mm-hmm. than I have anywhere mm-hmm. I've traveled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were musicians, you know, that, that came there mm-hmm. to a particular town and, you know, became residents.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys were born here.
Yeah.
You know, these old guys.
These were natives.
Soho.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Gang. They used to call
right.
Leroy Brown and Art Blakey and all the
yeah.
guys. They were the honey boys.
Yeah.
They called them the Soho Gang. You
Did you ever do anything with Joe Westray?
Oh,
in Joe's
yeah,
bands?
I played the street dances with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I played so many games with Joe. I played a game with It was bad. Remember Eddie Russ?
Yeah.
Well, we played, I think it was Blythedale or something. Mm. Like that. Well, anyhow, it was some, you know,
mm-hmm.
town
out in the country.
Or something. Like
yeah.
That. And they had this big baby grand, but there was keys, but there was no inside, there was
no
strings.
Strings.
So, we're playing, and Joe, man, he said, I'm paying you, so he made him sit there in Panama.
Yeah.
To me, that always seemed like the height of insult,
yeah.
You know, to have a musician sitting there. It wasn't his fault, it was
no piano.
And
it was almost like
so
standing.
I just went on and paid him and said, hey, you know, because
mm-hmm.
we, you know, he played, you know. The,
yeah.
What do you call that? Electric guitar
thing, yeah.
So, early on I played with so many various
mm-hmm.
types.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Brown, remember?
Yeah.
I played with him. And, Carol, piano player.
Washington. From Northside, yeah.
Yeah, played with
and
him.
Denny. Yeah.
I played with, what was the guy who played sax? He played that after I came over on the north side. He was from the north side.
Oh, Harold Hope.
Yeah, played with
him. Did you see, he was just in town here, he was around for a while. Did you see him any time while he was here?
No.
Yeah, because he's been up in Connecticut, you know, and he was home, he was here maybe about a year he was here. But he left, he went back a couple months ago. He went back up to Connecticut. But he came here and he was staying with his sisters, and then he was living on Wiley, right at Morgan and Wiley, well between Hollis and Morgan, just for a little while he was there. And then next thing you know, he left. But he got no teeth.
Is that right?
And you know, yeah, and he's trying to play, and you know, but he's, because he
don't have,
you know, Derbyshire's not there. But he said he was, you know, fairly successful up that way. He'd come home with a big scrapbook of all of his things and about all that he did up in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And
that seemed like an unusual place, you know, for a black musician to go there. But I guess they have more now, you know, but I'm just thinking at the time that he was.
Yeah, I know, because he went up there a long time ago. But, you know, it's the outskirts of New York, more or less, you know, you look at it that way.
That's true.
You know.
So they were.